Hello, another day to try again. What's going on, everybody? This is Franchie, Outrageously Thinking.
Yo, that's outrageous. It's your boy JP. Simple. Let's get it. Let's get into today's episode right here on the Simple Outrageous Podcast Show. First thing first, introduce yourself. Tell me, who are you?
Well, I'm Lanisha. I'm 30 years old. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and I reside in Broward County, and I work at a pharmacy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How you like pharmacy so far?
As a pharmacy technician, it was new for me because I came from retail. So the pharmacy I'm working at now is a field tech, so it's totally different from retail, answering the phone and just sending over faxes for refills and things like that. So I did like the hands-on better because now I know exactly what drugs actually look like and how they're supposed to be packed and just the usage of them as well. So it's not bad. I'll say I learned a lot and I would definitely like to learn more about it, but that'll be another topic for another day.
Of course. Before we go, like, what made you get into that field of choice, though?
So I was working at Walgreens. I always had a history of working with call centers because I guess I have a pleasant customer service voice when I put on. So most of my previous jobs were call center jobs or, like, customer service jobs. So one of my aunts, my grandma's sister, her baby sister worked there, and one of my cousins, my older cousins, on my aunt's husband's side was an actual supervisor in an MTM program, which is managed therapy medication. So that's where I started at Walgreens. And for you to work at Walgreens, within 5 months of being hired, you have to take the test to be either certified or registered. But they make you just do the registered part of it. You don't have to necessarily be certified. So that's how I got into it. Like, it was easy. And then I stopped working there because they weren't paying enough. And a few months later, I ended up finding a job at Polaris Pharmacy. That's how I continued on with PhilTech, which is a little different, but it's easy, I guess. So I guess that's why I'm still there.
But and that's like this main thing of a Black culture is always something dealing with medicine. That's how a person get into something.
Right. Yeah, definitely medicine. Cause I think a lot of our Black culture, we go through a lot of medical issues. So that's probably why I think you see a lot of Black females that go into nursing because they just want to help and make, you know, the medical field easier, especially doctors, Black female doctors. They want to do more so of the baby delivery thing because I can't say 100%, but I've heard that other cultures and races don't treat Black women the same during the delivery process. So now in the last few years, a lot of females have been wanting to have Black female OBGYNs, Black just regular primary doctors, because it's like we understand each other's bodies different than other cultures. So I mean, it's a good thing, though. Yeah, it's really good. Like, I actually had a Black OBGYN, but my insurance ended up not being in network with her. So I was a little pissed because I had to end up going back to another doctor that I used to go to, which they're good as well. But I just wanted to kind of stick with a Black female. So,
right.
Yeah, we kind of like, you know, we all correlate with each other somewhere, somehow.
That is true. I think, and also, I think also definitely dealing with a lot of international people, the main thing is get their family into a medical field. They feel that if you're not in a medical field or a lawman, I guess you want to put it like that.
Yeah, law enforcement or just the law field, period. Yeah.
Something like that. You're really not nothing.
Nothing.
You can't be a cashier or something like that. So it has to be in that aspect of them topic of fields. Right. Like, which is crazy. I mean, hey, I guess it's a good thing because you know, okay, your Black culture or whatever culture you are from, Haitian to France or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is, I guess it's good in a sense, but also it can be overwhelming. And mm-hmm. of course, with us Black people, we deal with a lot of stuff from other race and even from our own people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, the way we eat, a lot of different things that I learned, like the black community, most people get cancer or fibroids because it's based on the type of foods we eat and things like that. So we are, instead of someone just giving you medicine, somebody can actually educate you on how to prevent these things, and people that actually been through the same things as you, or they know how the Black culture works, you know. So
yeah
definitely I love to see it, even if they're not African-American, if they're Haitian or if they're Jamaican, you know, I feel like we're more caring when it comes to our people.
Oh, hell yeah. Big time. Yes, big time.
more caring.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I will go to a Black store bought owner mm-hmm. anytime quicker than go to a Caucasian or anything like that.
Right.
Even though I'm not racist, I just know where I go at it feel comfortable.
Yeah, because so a lot of people, they do, and you know, I hate to say it out loud, but they do look at us different, and you know, it sucks because some of them was raised that way, and some of them just don't. Some of them are jealous. Some of them don't like how we look, you know. So but that's a culture topic, so
that is true.
Definitely touch on that another day, but definitely it's a lot when it comes to our, you know, just us being Black in general.
That is true. Okay, I mean, hey, it is what it is, but like you said, it is another topic, another day for that. And our day today is something totally different. It's pretty much we're going off our dreams. What our dreams are made of, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got 5 good questions right now. I mean, we had 10, but we cut it down to 5 because we were going to do like a 2-part
series.
But right now we're gonna start with 5, and I think I'm gonna let you have the floor on the first. But
the first 5. Are you gonna ask me the questions? Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna ask you questions. Yes, ma'am. Of course. Unless you want to tell me, you know what, before we go into the question, what are dreams to you? What are dreams?
I don't believe in dreams. I mean, aspirations, yeah, but dreams is like, it just sounds so, like, commercial. Mm-hmm. Like it'll never happen. I don't ever say I dream of, or I substituted for goals. So a lot of people always say I have a dream of this, I have a dream of that, and not to knock Martin Luther King, okay, because again, what he did was not a dream, it happened. Like, a dream is something that you go to sleep and wake up and it's not real. So I don't do dreams. I just feel like goals, like your future and what's important to you, mm-hmm. and things that you want to accomplish before, you know, you leave Earth, you know, certain things you want to do. It can be traveling. It can be opening a business. It can be to create a big old family. It can be to have a super nice car. It's a lot of things that come. It just depends on what you want. So, I mean, for me, to say for goals, my goals is just to always be able financially. Like, I think a lot of people get lost in the world when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you're, like, right now today, and we're in inflation, and it, like, everything is super expensive. Like, we never seen this day coming, right? So you always supposed to be prepared. So I literally just went through something today that kind of woke me up, and I was like, okay, you need to do better because you're not prepared. And mm-hmm. this is something that you should have been preparing for. And, you know, that is very important. Like, I mean, I wish when I was 20, I was thinking about that. And I tell people all the time, like, if you have kids or cousins, even my younger cousins, I tell them, like, listen, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when you get 30, you're not, even though 30 is not old, but imagine being ahead. Imagine being ahead of time and ahead of yourself to where you're okay. Like, okay, I have a degree, or I have a business that's successful. Like, things like that are very, very important. There's nobody that's going to have your back unless you have been inherited money or you have rich parents. because inheritance means that was from grandpa and you were grandfathered in maybe, and then unless you have some successful parents that don't mind babying you, but you have to be ahead and have to make sure you got yourself. So those are important goals for me.
Okay. I feel you. I can understand that point, and I can definitely, and I would chime in on some of that, but I'm not going to, because again, doing your opinions, you know, everybody right. has their own opinion on everything, but I understand. Okay. I like that. I like it though. You know, just make sure you just continue to stay focused on your goals, whatever your goals right. could be. I don't know.
It don't matter what it is. As long as you're focused on it.
Yeah, right. Stay focused, you know? And I think that will lead us into one of our number one question today. What should be the biggest priority in your life?
So besides family, it's funny because I asked my mom this the other day. And the first thing she said was her family. And I was like, hey, yeah, family is a priority because, you know, that's all you have. Like, you do have friends and things like that, but your family is most important. You guys can have a big fight. Y'all can have a cookout. But when you need, like, if you was homeless, at least you have your family to go to. Your family is, like, your main priority. Like, that's a big priority. Like, and when I was younger, we always did family stuff. But when I got, like, 18 and 19, I was like, I just want to be out with my friends. I want to be out with my friends. But I feel like if I spent a lot of more time around my family, I could be a little ahead. Like, you know, when you're around your friends, they're not pushing you, especially at that age. They're not pushing you to do this, not pushing you to do that. All they're saying is, oh, let's go out. When we going out, you going to get your hair done? You going to get your nails done? So, like, family does play a good part, and it's a good priority to put in place just because, you know, you never know when people go, too. You never know.
That's true.
Besides family, yeah, besides family would be back on your first question you asked me, which was not with the five questions, but just, you know, your future. It's a priority. Sometimes you have to miss out on things. Like, sometimes you have to say, no, I can't. I have to go to work tomorrow. Like, you know, like, your priority should always be yourself, too. Number one goal, yourself, unless you're spiritual and God, and we know that, but yourself and your family.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I think mine will also be the same thing, would be family. But I think the biggest priority in my life right now, not only just my family, but I will also have to say, be true to myself. Right. You know, don't not change who I am to just to please another person. If I'm not pleased with myself, I can't please you. So mine would definitely have to be stay true to myself, to honor myself. Who am I? This is what I'm doing. This is what make me happy. This is what eventually it's going to catch up to you. Eventually, right. Whatever it's going to be. But if as long as I can stay true to myself, I cannot change or cannot
how somebody else feel about you.
Look, there you go. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? And that's a lot of, I'm going to say the generation of our age, because I'm only 3 years older than you, but mm-hmm. generation our age and a little bit younger, they so fixated on what that person think of it. You look at mm-hmm. the social media.
Or a picture, yeah. Or just yeah. A picture that they see and they feel
there
like
you
this
go.
Is what I should have, or this is how I should be, or this is what I should wear. Yeah, you do have to be true to yourself. And that's, I'll tell you one thing about me. My friends will tell you, like, I've never tried to fit in or be this way or have this because this person have things, and I've always just been myself. And I think that's why a lot of people like get attached to me easily, because I'm always true, always being honest. I will never give you an opinion. I'm always going to give you a fact. Mm-hmm. I will never give you an opinion. If you ask me something, I'm going to give you a fact. Even if I don't like it, I'm still giving you facts about something in particular. So yeah, being true is definitely, I like that one too. Being true to yourself. Yeah.
Because I think, like I said, even when me and you, when I first met you, I saw that the aura around you. Okay, I know who this person can be. But that's in my vision of looking at you. But then when I get to know you, okay, yeah, this person is true to herself. So yes, please, like I said, man, stay true to yourself. And to everybody that listening on this episode tonight, it's just like, stay true to yourself.
You can change who you are as long as you're not harming anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. Hey, some people like what they say. Some people like flats. Some people like drums. I like drums. Yeah. Some people like flats. Like everybody is their own. Just be yourself, and that would never bother people. Like you're not harming them. You're not disrespecting them. You're not taking nothing away from them. Like you're just being you. So that's true. Very important.
That is true. And so that's good. I like that. I like that on both ends.
So priority to me is number one. That's my favorite word. Because if we don't prioritize, a lot of our hours are just going to be wasted. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was the coolest thing. There's a comedian, the one that does with the talking animals, Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy, yep.
Is that Eddie Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
He uploaded the most amazing video, and he said, human beings, if you're lucky, only have 72 winters, 72 springs, 72 falls, and 72 summers. He's basically saying you only got 72 years to live, if you're lucky.
That's
so we got to prioritize our lives so we don't take it to waste.
That is true.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And the way I prioritize my life is, I think the biggest would be God. And then second would be myself, because I got to take care of myself to be able to take care of others.
So question number two. Oh, man. Do you believe that some things are simply indispensable?
That was a hard one, that word in particular, because, I mean, pretty much unexplainable. But, I mean, yes, I agree, but I can be biased about it because things that are unexplainable would be death for me. So some things happen, and, I mean, that's what it is. It's just life. But then I feel like there are things that people do that they have control over, and I need an answer for it. You understand something? You can't just say that, oh, I did this and I can't explain to you why I did this. So I have to be biased on that one because it depends on what it is. Like if you do something to me, I need to know why was it done to me. I don't ever want anyone to think that I'll let them get past by saying, oh, I don't know. I can't explain it. And I'm a type of person, since I've been a kid, I ask a million questions. And you know this about me. I ask a million questions. Like, I have to get down to the bottom of anything. Like, so I'm a type of person, I would never walk away and say, oh, it was just unexplainable. No, they can't explain. No, you need to explain to me why this is this way and why did this happen that way and why you said this. That's me. And I think it's a good and a bad thing because sometimes you should let things go, but you can't let everything go. Everything just can't be let go. Like, Johnny, you know, I try with people. I try. So I give you chances. But if something is repeated too many times, then I need to know what's going on with you and why you're acting this way or why you're doing this. Like, so I would definitely say it depends on what situation it is. Like, I feel like anything anybody do should has an explanation behind it.
That is true. I feel the same way about it. Like you said, death, that's something that we can't explain. No. But if it's something that that you keep on doing, like you said, I was out in Tennessee probably like a couple of months ago. And I think it was in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a friend up there. So not to tell his story, but it bit him in the ass. Let's just say, put it like that. It bit him in the ass. Something that he did, knowing that you know you cannot handle your situation. You put yourself in that spot. Now I gotta come from out of my own home state, come up there, bail you out. Let's just put it like that. You probably already know where I'm heading at with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got two cheeks, left and right. You got slap on your right side. Now why are you getting a slap on your left side? You should have saw that coming.
Yeah, you have to sit down. Especially as an adult. Like, you have to sit down and figure out, okay, how can I prevent this from happening again? That's why I said one time, okay, I'll give you that. But if you continuously do it, then I have a problem.
Yeah, there you go. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, Okay, shame on you. Okay, yes, you're right about that. So I completely understand. And, man, but again, that's the world that we live in.
Inexplicable, like you can't explain it?
Yep.
Yes. I agree, yes. I don't think we can explain everything. So there are some things that when we die will still stay a mystery.
True. Oh, of course. Of course. What is this fair?
Yeah.
And that brings us to question number three. Do you think a single moment has the power to change the world?
No. So many things have happened and nothing has changed. And I'm not going to say finances. I'm going to dip in the topic of, I'm going to say police brutality, things like that, or racism. Like, that stuff is still happening and people are still allowing it. And it could be in the smallest way ever. It can be, I can go to an interview and because I'm a Black female and then there's a Caucasian female and they may choose her over me just based on my culture. So I feel like nothing changes. People just brush it under the rug and just, it just keeps going. There's a lot of big things that happen and stuff is just still going on. Nothing is changing. Like, really? Nothing is changing. So I that's how I feel. I can be wrong. Maybe I have to hear someone else's point of view, but I don't feel like a single thing can change the world. Like, I just can't. I haven't seen it happen yet.
Like, okay.
Stuff happened and people just keep going. Police brutality, or police kill this person, or you know, that different, the where I'm going. So it's like,
yeah,
no, same thing. Same thing.
You're right. You know, racism is always going to be around. It doesn't matter how you want to slice it up, it does not matter from the white to the Black to the Spanish, whatever. Race is always going to be around.
And even with each other, even amongst each other. Like,
there you go.
I see people, females do stuff they wouldn't want other females to do to them. Or, oh, you messing with my man. And then, oh, whatever. And then you still, that person still messing with your man. And then they don't understand that it backfires. Because then you're going to be in a good relationship. Then somebody going to mess with your man. Like, it's just a lot of stuff that happens and people don't learn from it. So I feel like nothing ever changes because people aren't learning from it. And other people make it okay. Like, oh, that's life.
That's okay, true.
Whatever. Like, no, it shouldn't be like that. But, and that's why things, if you want my real honest opinion, the only thing that would change this world is if God himself came down here and showed himself and said, listen, if you guys don't get it together, I'm going to start over. I would love to see it.
But you don't think that's a sign right there with all the, what the.
It's not enough for me. It's
the
not enough.
World, the Mother Nature and all that changing. That's not a sign?
It's not enough for me. It's not enough for people.
Right. Okay.
Like that doesn't bother people.
That's true.
You're gonna say Mother Nature. You're gonna say global warming, and we gonna do the same thing. You gonna do the same thing. You're gonna litter. You're gonna do the same thing.
Right.
But you're gonna do the same thing.
That's true. That's true. You're gonna lay your head down, wake up the next morning, do it again. Fuck it. Yeah.
We'll have to have like a blackout. We'll have to have like a power grid blackout, maybe.
Right.
That'll change the world. But
it could.
As of right now, no. You still got to get up and go to work. You still got to do this. You still got, like, it's just, you know, that question was really hard. And I looked at it. I kind of thought about it for like 24 hours. And I was like, dang, I don't know what I should say. It's so much stuff I could say. But, you know, I don't think a single moment could change, like, anything. For 30 days, maybe. Maybe 60 days. Yeah, maybe. They let Trump.
Like a 90 days.
Yeah, they let Trump still run for president, and I have nothing against him. They let Biden still run for president, and he's on his way out. He's hanging on the limb. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff that happened, and people, you know, the world is still going.
That's true. I think, for me, I'm going to take the opposite role on this one. I'm going to say yes. A single moment can change it. Think back to 2008 when Obama got into the office. You have not seen a Black person into office that set that stage definitely where he came from a small island in Hawaii. You don't see that, you know, from a cultural standpoint. That's something that you don't see. I think it did change. It changed not for 4 years, but then he went back in the office and won it again. So he changed it again for 8 years. So 8 years, that was a strong moment right there to show you that a black man and a black family can get into a high position. Yeah, it might be something that he's not in completely control of, but it's something that they can reach for. So for kids in the future, okay, this is your back to your thing with the dream. This is your goal, or this is your dream, however you want to put it, whatever you want to put it. So it can be a single moment that can change a lot of stuff. Then you got to look at it in the standpoint of our sexuality of certain people. You don't see this Me Too movement like this that is so big. Something that we all know, not to bring them down, Bill Cosby. Yeah, we heard about the stories. We heard about the story with P. Diddy. We heard all these stories.
Yeah.
But look how long it took. Almost 40 years, and now this person get indicted? Like, come on. A single moment can change. Will a group of females come together, put this one person in jail, or put this person in office, or whatever you want to say? It can be different. To me, a single moment can change, because you got to look at it at the standpoint of what is going on. It depends on what area you are. Yeah. So it depends on whatever you are. To me, I'm going to say yes. To you, it might be no. But
No, that was a good one. And I think that would be a good topic to talk about as well. But yeah, that was definitely a good one. But it doesn't change the world.
No.
So
it don't change. It don't change the world.
But because, at least, I mean, it make an impact. The
culture. Yes.
Yeah, it made a good culture
impact. It made a good impact. X amount of years or whatever. I'm getting out of my element, my world that I'm used to, and being somewhere else that I know I don't supposed to be. So
or that's never expected.
Yes. You see what I'm saying? So, like I said, to me, I think yes. But hey, it's a topic for everybody.
Yeah.
I'd say yeah, totally. As a technician, when I'm seeing patients now that I'm working in retail, sometimes a lot of them are really angry. You know, they come sad. Everybody has problems. Anywhere you go, all human beings have problems. So when I see them at this state, they don't even have to be sad. I always try to make sure that my patients leave laughing or smiling,
because
they're coming in pain, you know. So me giving them that one compliment for that one moment, you know, may give them, you know, that bit of boost, that bit of confidence to make them change. Or, you know, somebody was probably going to go home and kill themselves, God forbid. And I believe that me trying to, you know, give them this little bit of positivity in their life may change their world. And like you said, I may not be speaking it from my aspect and I'm speaking on their behalf, but I think I'm making that little bit of a change.
That's true. Yeah.
Even when I was a cashier, you know, I try to make people laugh because it's so awkward. You're over here scanning all these items. Your cashier is not making no eye contact. She's just focused on the computer. You're just staring at the customer, staring at the cashier. And it's just such an awkward moment. So I always feel like, let me change the world a little bit. And, you know, hey, let me compliment your hair. Let me compliment your chair. You know, say good morning, make you laugh. You know, so I think moments change.
That's true. And I guess in the standpoint of everything, a kind word can make a difference. It can put a smile on everybody's face.
Totally.
Question number four. Do you think there is a greater meaning to life outside of simply living?
I mean, living is life.
Is it?
However it's going. I mean, just because you're, a lot of people look at living like doing what I want to do. Like, I want to travel. I want to shop. You know, that's a good part of life too, but day by day you're living. So your life consists of living. You getting up every day is a moment of living. So I wish I can be living. I wish I can take a trip every month. And I mean, there are people that can. Don't get me wrong. There are people. Yeah, there are people that can. So I think they both tie into one another. And, you know, a lot of people feel like they're not living just because they're not doing things that they, you know, they desire to do. But you're still living. You're still waking right. up every day. You're still eating good. You're laughing. So those tie into each other. So I don't think there's anything different from one another. Like, and if you do want to start living, then you have to work towards it. Like, if you want to have that living lifestyle, because they say living is a lifestyle, like where you're doing more than just an average person, then you have to work towards that. But even if you're not, like, if I can't afford to go to Dubai or if I can't afford to go to Africa, I'm not going to feel like I'm not living. I don't think that God himself would be like, oh yeah, they're not living because they're not traveling or they don't have this. I think people just use the word living as a bougie way of life.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Even when you're just regular life, you're still living.
That is true.
You're still breathing. Like, you still go to work. You have knowledge. Like, they tie into each other.
That is true. Living is living. It doesn't matter how you want to code it. As long as you can wake up, your eyes open when the sunrise hits your face, or by the alarm clock, or whoever wake you up next to you, whatever. As long as you can breathe and you can move on, that is living. I don't think it is a simple way of just doing it. As long as your foot touch that ground and you know you can stand up upright, you are good. It does not matter.
Health is good. Even those that do have health issues, like, you're still alive, you know.
There you go. I'd rather have that.
That goes into life, because people, again, back to social media, people feel like if you're not posting this or if you're not doing this, you're not living. And that's so not true.
That is true. You know, and I think social media, again, took over everything. So it destroyed the value of living.
It's a good platform, but it's abused in so many ways. Like,
of course,
my idea of living too, being with my family, like me and my mom, my sister and brother, Thursday nights, Fridays, Saturdays, we play spades. Like, we drink and we play spades. Girl. Yeah, like, we have fun, we make jokes about each other. Like, that is living to us, and that's normal.
That is true.
And that's the norm. Like, but to other people that feel like, oh, I'm on a flight today, I'm at the mall tomorrow, they think they'll look down upon people like me that do the norm. So for me, what I do is not normal because of the way the world is today. I feel like people that travel or go shopping all the time, or that is actually the normal lifestyle now. So I always tell people I don't live a normal lifestyle because I don't do what everybody else does.
That's true. So
I flipped it because I had to actually mentally prepare myself. Like, you know, no, that's normal. That's the new normal. I don't do what everybody else does. What I want to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get it too. Yeah. You know, I'd rather do a 9-to-5, keep you grounded and keep you motivated to, okay, this is what I got to do, this and this and this. Like you said, if you go traveling, you go to the mall and you do this every on the day, you adding up to more bills than what you think you already have.
Stuff you didn't take with you.
Right. Unless you're going to be like, what's the guy named Elvis Presley, die in his Cadillac and be buried down to the ground.
No, Lord.
Hey, that's Elvis. That's there. Yeah.
And not I mean, that's just probably something that he wanted. And that's why I say it's nothing wrong with people wanting things like that. But don't ever look down on people that don't care about things like that.
There are people
that don't care about stuff like that. I have friends that they have to have this because that's something they always wanted. It wasn't because they seen somebody with it. Those are things that they always wanted. Those are things that I want in my life because that's things that I've always wanted. It shouldn't be a pointing fingers like I'm better than you or you're better than me. It should never be that way. Like, everybody can live their own life.
Hey, like I always tell everybody, fast money not meant to stay long. So
yeah, and even for those that do, I don't judge you. Whatever you're doing, if you have a successful business and you you figured out you can't work for somebody, I applaud you. And I applaud the same female that goes to work and clock in. If she has a career job, that's good. Because again, that's what she or he wants to do. That's probably what their desires was from coming up at 18 and 19. They probably said, oh, I want to save the world. I want to be a police officer. I want to be in the army. I want to fight for my country. Or, you know, I want to be a nurse because I want to make sure our patients and everyone is, you know, that's sick, they're being well taken care of. There's a lot of, I feel like God put everybody here for a certain purpose, like, but it all comes together. It all comes together at some point. Like, we all need each other some way, somehow.
That's true. And you can't sugarcoat it anyway, how you just said it, you know. So, I like that. I like that.
What is simply living? I'm going to go with no. For me, it is, because I like simple living. But if we're speaking about, you know, the general public, I think some people might say no, because some people probably do need that extravaganza, you know, to build their serotonin. It may be temporary, but some people just go crazy. Like the people that kill themselves, if they don't have like $1 million in their bank account, or kill themselves if they didn't get that promotion or whatnot. It's a lot of people that can't live simply. But for me personally, I think living simply has a lot more meaning, because I am one with the air, one with the trees, and just me going to the lake. Dude, when I forget my phone at home, I don't stress it all the time. Sometimes I do, because it is, unfortunately, you know, our means of business. But sometimes on one of those trips that I left it, I'm like, I don't need it. When I'm walking into church, I don't need it. If I'm going to work, I don't need it right now. Why am I going to be late for that? I want to live simply, calm, like no distractions. And having your phone on you is sometimes a distraction, because you're like, oh my God, hear a ring? Oh my God, did I feel it vibrating? Nah, bro. That's all in your head. Keep calm.
Keep calm. That's true. I like that. That's just true.
There's a name for that. I can't look it up right now, but they gave it a name for us technology people. When we feel the vibrations on and we think that it's our phone vibrating, there's a name for that. And it's crazy, because we're so addicted, so attentive to that phone that we always think it's ringing. It's wild.
And the final question, which I think is very crazy. What have been the most defining moments of your life so far?
I'm going to ask you so I can see. I want you to answer first so I can see if we have the same answer. Because I asked my mom and me and her had the same answer. So what was the most defining thing that happened in your life?
For me, was able to hold my two kids.
Okay. Good one. I asked somebody else and they told me their kid.
Yeah.
For me, it was losing my grandma. So it just, like, defining, it just made me realize, like, you're going to lose people. They're not going to be here. It was an eye-opener. So for me, the defining word comes into eye-opening, like, oh, this is real. Like, this is reality. Just like you say, holding your kids, like, that was an eye-opener for you. Like, okay, I really have to get my life together. Like, you know, no, I don't know where you were at that time, but you probably said, okay, I have to do better in life, or I want this for them. So when my grandma passed, I was like, okay, I have to be more in touch with my family. I have to be more in touch with people that are getting older. My great-grandma, even my mom, like, it made me sit down and realize, like, she's not going to be here one day. Like, you know, so, because we just going. Everybody's just going and going and going, and like, until something bad happened, then you want to think about it. Like, I think, you know, you're supposed to prepare yourself. And of course you can't be prepared for death, but it just gives you a sight of saying, hey, let me spend more time with this person. Let me spend more time with that person. Or let me get in this person's head to see how they're feeling and things like that. So when my grandma passed, it was a big eye opener, like, for me, like, really big.
Yeah, it was an eye opener with my granddad that happened when he passed away too. But I was more so on prepared, because I didn't know what he was going through. I'm from a grown man that built his own house, that built his own shed, that put that foundation working for the city of Fort Lauderdale for almost 40 years. So I saw that, you know what I'm saying? I saw all of that, and I also saw when his health took a tumble. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From him having a heart attack, from him having a stroke, and from him passing away after he said to my mom, to his daughter at that time, y'all in good hands, and he mm-hmm. took his last breath. I saw that in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? So that right there, it was mentally, yes, like you said, you can't prepare, but also on the strong side, mentally, I was also okay with it because, again, I saw it. Now, we go to in present time right now, dealing with my grandma. Yes, her health issues with her heart, her bones deteriorating and stuff like that. I see it. My mom dealing with her vertigo. I see it every damn day. Even finding out that my dad, which was crazy that I didn't know that he told me, and he already told my mom that he got cancer. So that right there, already, I was there. I'm okay mentally, but also not trying to break down because, again, it go back to what I said, my kid. I got a strong, be right there, show the smile on them that everything is good, everything all right, whatever you're going through. Sometimes you might got a smile, but at the end of the day, you're going to break down, cry somewhere alone. You know
and
what I'm saying?
That's the part of having flesh, right? You're not going to you're not gonna be Iron Man.
There you go.
Even Iron Man had flesh too, but you're not gonna be Iron Man. So yeah, I think, you know, people should tap in more to that and not just fighting about dumb stuff, like, and arguing about dumb stuff, or just, and you know, I have a really bad temper that I'm working on. And when I say temper, I mean somebody bothering me over and over and over, like, then that's the issue right there. So then I snap. So, you know, I'm working on that because, again, life is really short. You never know when someone's going. You don't know,
right?
And you would never be able to, again, tap into whoever's passed, their pain and things like that. So when my grandma passed, I watched her from 5 months. She declined over and over. Every other week she declined.
Yep.
To a point where my grandma barely knew who I was, like, you know. So that was like a really defining moment in my life. Like, I had to start, like, mentally saying, you have to grow up and you have to stop acting like you're 25 again, and you have to stop letting little stuff get to you and stuff like that, because there's going to be bigger things that's going to happen. Really big things that you're not going to have any control over.
That is true. That is true. And, you know, you hear it from us. We hear it every day. Like I say, you never don't know when a person going through,
right,
if you're not in the inside of that person. Yeah. So, and like you said, it was you and your grandma. That was hard. Because it's so funny about that. I was there with you, you know. I would share your little tears with you. I told you everything going to be okay. Even God knows what best for you and your family. Just continue to have prayer, you know. But that is like the 5 questions that we have for tonight. But I think overall, we can keep on going with these topics, these questions.
Yeah, it's good.
I guess I would look like a bad mom if I don't see my kid, but I think my finest moment was making this grand move from one state to another, you know, by myself and actually succeeding. I think that I may not be living the best life and it could be better, but it's much more successful than I've been at the other state.
Yeah.
So I think that's my finest moment. I think that's pretty cool.
If you had to make that change again, would you do it again?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of people that know me, they think that because I told them last minute, oh my God, hey, I'm leaving in a couple of weeks. What? Why would you make such a change last minute? First of all, that's an assumption, and assumptions make you look like an ass. Okay.
There you go.
I've been thinking about it for months. before I made the move. And I think that's what made it successful, instead of jumping into something head on, which is okay sometimes. Head on works. But there are certain things that need to be thought of. You got to take one step at a time. So I think that's what, you know, what made it so cool, actually thinking about it. And social media is really making people, social media makes things easy, makes things look easy. Because just because I snapped this picture of my salad, oh my God, it looks all nice, but you don't know what I struggled to get that lettuce. I cut myself doing the tomatoes. You know what I'm saying? I took a couple pictures, you know, all that. People don't take into account all those things, you know, and maybe it was my one meal of the week. Like, there's a whole lot that goes behind that picture. And people are like, oh my gosh, she got so slim quick. Oh my gosh, she moved so quick without thinking about it. There's so many words behind a picture, bro. So many words. So many struggles.
We do appreciate you for being on tonight's episode with us to just hear your opinion. Is there anything else you want to say?
Just don't take life for granted and, you know, start preparing yourself now for things that you want and, you know, start saying no. Start saying, no, this is not for me. This job is not for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I can't go out today. Like, you know, always put yourself first. And another one, take care of your health, right? Mm. That is very, very important. Like, take care of your health. There's a lot of things out here that's bad for us, and we continuously do it or eat it or, you know, you have to take care of yourself. Like, I used to always say, I don't want to be here past 70 years old. And then, one of the pharmacists, Stu, he was like, what? He was like, if you're walking around and talking, I bet you would be. I was like, that's true. But that's if true. You're at an older age and you're sickly because you didn't take care of your body properly, then you're like in that rush. I just want to die already. So, you know, I like say that, like, take care of your health, you know, exercise, try to eat healthy sometimes. There's nothing wrong with eating bad here and there, but just know that time waits for no one and it's going to keep going, and it's either you're going to allow it to get worse or better.
That is true. Amen to that. I love every second of that. Like I tell everybody, focus on the ocean of positive, not the puddle of negative. You know, right. That's what we got to do in today's society. But again, y'all, once again, this is Lanisha right here. Thank you for being on tonight's episode of Simply Outrageous with us. Thank you. And we will catch it again.
No problem. Bye.
Bye, Jay. All right.